So what you have discussed in 2 verses, please discuss in 90 chapters. So that's how he said. So then that is the main question that brings us into the 10th canto, apparently. Although this is a very great transcendental literature, which is eternally existent, and all the 10 topics or various sections presented in Bhagavatam are like pre-planned, transcendentally pre-planned, still they appear in the form of questions and answers, right? As if the whole content is taking birth in that conversation only, although the entire content is eternally existent, right? So then we come to this area of 10th canto. So first 5 chapters of 10th canto mainly discuss about the appearance of Krishna, right? Kamsa's atrocities and all that. So Krishna would enter Gokul to perform his Vrindavan pastimes. So that is the theme of first 5 chapters. Next 35 chapters or 33, 34 chapters describe Krishna's Vrindavan Leelas, right? We'll enter the first chapter. First chapter is titled The Advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction. So Krishna doesn't advent. Actually Krishna doesn't appear in the first chapter, but Prabhupada titles it as Advent and Introduction. So the prelude to Krishna's appearance is given in the first chapter. So the major contents of this chapter are Parikshit Maharaj's eagerness to hear about Krishna and his gratitude towards Sukadeva Goswami for speaking Krishna Katha. Then in the next section we see that the demigods approach the Lord when the midst of the crisis of Mother Earth. Then the marriage of Devaki Vasudeva happens, and Kamsa hears the omen, and then he becomes cruel towards Devaki. So those incidents are described. Vasudeva's expert speech kind of manipulated the situation and protected Devaki. These are the contents of the first chapter. So we will begin. So in the first 4 verses, Maharaj Parikshit expresses his eagerness. Oh my dear Sukadeva Goswami, you have very nicely described the Sun Dynasty and Moon Dynasty. Now, kindly describe the activities of Krishna and Balaram more elaborately. And he expresses his gratitude and eagerness more by mentioning this verse. Nivritta Tarshair Upagiyamana Bhavavushadhat Shrotra Manobhirama Ka Uttama Shloka Gunanavada Puman Virajyeta Vinapashugnat. If one doesn't take interest in Krishna Katha, then he is like killing his own self, right? He's like an animal killer or killing his own self, Pashughanath. So Parikshit Maharaj expresses his eagerness like that, and in the next 3 verses Parikshit Maharaj expresses his gratitude towards Krishna. So taking the boat of Krishna's lotus feet, my grandfather Arjuna crossed this ocean of Kurukshetra war, where Bhishma, Karna, Drona, Shalya, Saindhava, there are so many such great warriors who are like Timingala fish, but Arjuna could easily pass that because of the shelter of Krishna. So later he says, because of Krishna's protection only, I was protected from the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama. When I was in the womb of my mother, Ashwatthama released the Brahmastra and Krishna protected me. So Parikshit Maharaj expresses his gratitude. So I want to know his pastimes, not in short, in great detail. Please elaborate them. That is the intention. So kindly enlighten me by describing his transcendental character. So after Parikshit Maharaj expresses his eagerness and gratitude, he asks 8 questions. First question is, how did Balaram become the son of both Devaki and Rohini? This has reference to the 9th canto. There, our Sukadeva Goswami was describing the sons of Devaki and Rohini. Balaramji's name appears at both places. So Parikshit Maharaj gets a doubt. Generally, we get lost by hearing so many names, their details. But he remembers, oh, 2 names are matching also. So why the Lord was transferred to Nanda's house? Why Krishna was born here and then he was transferred to Nanda's house? Where did he live along with his relatives? What did Krishna do in Vrindavan and Mathura? Why did he kill Kamsa? So killing a maternal grandfather, maternal uncle is not approved in the Shastras, but Krishna killed. Why did he act against the religious principles? Right? That was intriguing me. How many years did Krishna live with the descendants of Rishni? How many wives did he marry? You know, how many years did he live in Dwaraka? So these are certain questions that Parikshit Maharaj asked. Now, finally, he says, don't think that you have to answer only these questions that I have asked. Because my knowledge is limited, I would ask some questions, but you should answer those questions which I have not asked also. Right? Whatever I have asked, whatever I have not asked, please tell me. And don't also think that I am troubled by hunger and thirst. They are not troubling me at all. I can continue to hear. So Sukadeva Goswami begins answering his questions by first glorifying Parikshit Maharaj. Thank you. Thank you, Parikshit Maharaj. You have great attraction for Krishna Katha. And your buddhi, your intelligence is firmly fixed in spiritual understanding. And that is the highest goal of humanity. So you are in the right consciousness. And you are inspiring me to speak Krishna Katha. I am very happy. And Vasudeva Katha Prashna, Purusham Strin Punatihi, Vaktaram Purchrakam Srotram Satpada Sarilam Yatha. Just like the water that washed the lotus feet of the Lord would purify the three worlds, similarly, Krishna Katha purifies the inquirer, the speaker, and the hearer. Okay, whoever hears happens to be in the assembly. So he appreciates Krishna Katha, he appreciates Parikshit Maharaj, and he begins the story. Once, Mother Earth was overburdened by demoniac forces. So many kings who are not supposed to be kings, who are maintaining military strength not to protect the citizens but only for sense gratification. So such kind of kings were overburdening Mother Earth. So Mother Earth took the form of a cow and approached Brahmaji, right, for help with tears in her eyes. So Brahmaji, he took Mother Earth and all the other demigods and approached Lord Vishnu at the bank of the milk ocean, right? So there Brahmaji sat and meditated on Lord Vishnu, so they could not directly see, right? So all the demigods were also along with Brahma, and Brahmaji was chanting Purusha Sukta prayers. Then a message comes to Brahmaji, right, through the medium of his heart. So in trance, Brahmaji heard from Lord Vishnu. So then whatever he has heard, he communicated it to all the demigods. So Lord already knows Earth's conditions. All of you should appear in the dynasties of Yadu and Vrishni on the planet Earth. This was the message of the Lord. So all the wives of demigods also should appear. Then Sankarshan will appear as Baladev, and Vishnu Maya will also come and participate in the pastimes of Krishna. So by relaying this message, Brahma returned to his abode, and Mother Earth was pacified. She also returned back. So that was the prelude to Krishna's appearance. Now Sukadeva Goswami turns the camera to, you know, Mathura. There, the marriage of Devaki and Vasudeva was happening. So Surasena, the chief of Yadus, he went to live in Mathura. And so Vasudev married Devaki, and as a dowry, Devaki's father gave so many female assistants, 200 female assistants, 400 elephants, 10,000 horses, 1,800 chariots, etc. And Kamsa was so affectionate to his younger sister that he personally took the reins of the chariot and then drove Vasudev and Devaki to their house. So at this point, so Kamsa hears a dangerous omen. So, O foolish Kamsa, the eighth child of your sister will be the cause of your death, and you are foolishly, you know, driving her chariot. So this message was actually given by the demigods, right, to speed up Krishna's appearance, right? So this shameless, merciless Kamsa, you know, caught Devaki by her hair and then dragged her, right, and he was about to chop her head off from her body. Then Vasudev began, he tried to pacify Kamsa by Sama, Bheda, Nyaya, by using all these techniques. So Vasudev used five types of Sama, Gunakirtanam, by appreciating Kamsa, although he has no qualities that are worth appreciating. and by Sambandha, by indicating the relationship between Bhoja dynasty and all, then by Labha, Bhoja Yashaskaraha, right? If you protect your sister, if you don't kill her, your fame will be intact. Then Abheda, then Upakirti. So she is your sister, she is non-different from your daughter. So Abheda. Then Upakirti means creating feelings of generosity. By getting wife from you, I will receive favor from you. So like that, various techniques of Sama, Vasudev employed to pacify Kamsa. But Kamsa wouldn't be pacified. Then Vasudev employed Bheda technique. So Bheda means there are two types of Bheda. First, he creates a fear of sinful activity. Second, he creates a fear of family fight. So in both ways, he tried to pacify Kamsa, but he wouldn't be pacified. Then he employs Nyaya. Nyaya means one who takes birth is sure to die. Logic, simple logic. You have taken birth, why are you fearful of death? If her eighth child doesn't kill you, someone else will come and kill you. Right? By nature's laws, you will die. So unnecessarily, why are you getting afraid? And after death, you will receive another body. So there is no fear. Just like a person is walking, would lift one foot and then place the other foot. So similarly, soul changes the bodies. Right? And in dreams, we may take bodies forgetting the current position. So this death is just a change of bodies. You need not fear. Right? So, and why this change of bodies happen? Due to flickering mind. So when there are severe current, there is severe currents in the ocean, a ship cannot sail very smoothly, right? It is tossed like this. So like that, mind also is flickering, like the waves of ocean constantly. That waves of ocean or the flickering of mind would cause change of bodies. So this is a natural phenomena. Please don't be anxious of your death. And the luminaries, when they are reflected in oil or water, appears different. Similarly, soul will change bodies. So you are an intelligent person, you should not be worried unnecessarily. You should not be fearful. You are a warrior. So he tried to pacify in so many ways. And again he used Veda. Then again he used Sama. Right? Then finally, Kamsa was not at all affected by all these kind of techniques. Finally, Vasudev thought, at any cost, by using one's intelligence, one has to avoid death. There is no other way. So now let me just promise Kamsa that I would give him my sons. So at this moment, at least Devaki would be saved. So that was the idea of Vasudev. Then he promised. So Devaki is not the cause of your death. Her sons would be the cause of your death. So whenever I get a son, I promise you that I will give you that son. Then Kamsa understood. Kamsa knows that Vasudev is a Satyavadi. He can never lie. If he promises, he would keep up that promise. Right? So that's why Kamsa agreed to this proposal. And then he went back. He left Devaki. Then after some time, Vasudev received a child from Devaki. Then he brought it very faithfully, keeping up to his promise. He brought the child in front of Kamsa. And Kamsa said, I have no fear of this child. Eighth child will be the cause of my death. You bring that eighth child. First child is, I have no fear, you just take him back. So Vasudev agreed, he was happy. But he could not trust the character of Kamsa. Because a sinful person can never be trusted. Now he may be kind, but anytime he may become cruel. So meanwhile, Narada Muni comes to Kamsa and increases his fear. He says, I have just attended a meeting where all the demigods were discussing, right? All the demigods descended in the dynasties of Yadu. So you are thinking that eighth child only will come and kill you. Any child can kill you, right? He shows a lotus and then, which is the first petal. So Kamsa was confused and then again he becomes insecure and he kills all the children of Devaki and Vasudev one by one. And he imprisons Devaki and Vasudev, and he kills family relatives and then other relatives. They just run away from the kingdom, Mathura, and he himself becomes the king and imprisons his father Ugrasena. So these were the atrocities of Kamsa. That's how the first chapter ends. Now in the second chapter, we see the prayers of the demigods, right? Second, although it's not mentioned in Bhagavatam, I heard from other sources that Kamsa came to know that he was not actually the son of Ugrasena. He was the son of Kalanemi, right? His mother was cheated by, you know, some demon, right? He becomes aware, and Narada Muni must have revealed it also. So he comes to know, and Ugrasena is also a good soul, favorable to demigods. He was not favoring the atrocities of Kamsa. Yeah, he is against Kamsa's imprisoning Devaki and Vasudev. He was not approving Kamsa's activities. So he found his father also as threat. So second chapter also, in the beginning phase, we see the atrocities of Kamsa. With the help of various demons, Kamsa persecuted the Yadavas, right? Yadavas fled. But some people stayed, like some people like Akrura, they stayed back with Kamsa only and then continued serving him because they were aware that Krishna is going to appear. So even at the cost of tolerating all the atrocities of Kamsa, we should stay here to see Krishna's appearance. So 6 children were killed. Then in the 7th pregnancy of Devaki, Anantasesh appeared inside Devaki's womb. And not to come out of her womb as a child of Devaki, but to prepare the bed for Krishna's appearance. So he has to make arrangements within the womb for Krishna to come. So once he puts all the bed and all, he just goes to Rohini's womb. So meanwhile, Lord called Yogamaya and then orders, Yogamaya, you should go to Vraja and transfer Sankarshan from Devaki's womb to Rohini's womb. Rohini, out of fear of Kamsa, so and the advice of Vasudev, she left Mathura and then she is residing in Nandamara's house in Vraja. So you transfer Sankarshan from Devaki's womb to Rohini's womb. So I will appear as son of Devaki, and later after transferring, you should appear as son of Vaishodha also. So Yogamaya agrees to this proposal, and then Krishna says, ordinary humans will worship you for some material desires, and you will be known with so many names, Bhadra, Kali, so many other names he mentions, and Lord Ram, means Balaram, will be known as Sankarshana, Balabhadra, Rama, like that. So Yogamaya very faithfully executes the order of Lord Vishnu or Krishna. So now coming back to the prison house of Kamsa, here Devaki becomes pregnant, and the 7th pregnancy, because Yogamaya transferred Sankarshan to Rohini's womb, that was understood as miscarriage by everyone. Later, in the 8th pregnancy, Krishna enters the womb of Devaki. And when Krishna entered the body of Devaki through the medium of Vasudeva's mind and heart, so Vasudeva was illuminated like sun, and Devaki was like the moon rising in the east. Right? Devaki was like fire covered by, you know, some ashes, and learned person covered, and he's unable to benefit the society. So Devaki was effulgent, but because she was in Kamsa's prison, she could not exhibit that effulgence completely. But this fellow Kamsa noticed this, right? Devaki is becoming more and more beautiful, and Kamsa started thinking, should I kill her now? No, she's a woman, she's a sister, she's pregnant. If I kill, my reputation will be lost, opulence will be lost, lifespan will be diminished. That's why here in this context, Sukadeva Goswami addresses him as Prabhu also, because he is having some kind of considerable thoughts, reasonable thoughts. So I would suffer in the hell in the next life and in this life also, so I will not kill her. Let the child take birth, then I will kill the child, like that. So Kamsa decided to wait. So meanwhile, all the demigods appeared in the room of Devaki when she was pregnant, and they offered such beautiful prayers to Krishna, who was in the womb of Devaki. This is known as, popularly known as, Garbhastuti, right? So our Hemaru Prabhu made a simple flowchart with all the prayers. We will not get into the details of the prayers because we will get lost. We can't cover the overview. So in summary, all the demigods say that Lord is the cause of all causes. how he extends his protection and who can access Lord's protection and what inspires the devotion of any person towards the Lord, and then Lord's purpose in appearing at this time, that is to reduce the burden of earth. Right? Demigods glorify the Lord in various ways, and that's how the second chapter ends. These are some details of the prayers. So now we enter the third chapter. So in the third chapter, the birth of Lord Krishna is described very nicely. First 8 verses are very brilliant, where the auspiciousness of Krishna's appearance is very detailedly described by Sukadeva Goswami. Entire universe was surcharged with mode of goodness, beauty and peace. So although it's the midst of monsoon, midnight, still the whole atmosphere is manifesting the qualities of spring, right? And although it was Ashtami, the moon was like almost like Purnami moon only, right? All directions became peaceful. Stars twinkled in the cloudless sky. So in the 20th chapter we were thinking only in monsoon only glowworms will shine, stars and moon will go away. But when Krishna appeared, stars and moon also shone very brilliantly. So like that, rivers, trees, plants, and the denizens of heavens, the devas, munis, the monsoon season itself, and everyone became very jubilant, right? Lord appears like a full moon in the night from Mother Devaki in four-handed form. And here there is a mention that all the yagnic fires which were stopped because of Kamsa's fear, all the brahmanas began them back, like that. So there Sukadeva Goswami very beautifully describes the beauty of the small child also, and Vasudeva's wonder in seeing that beautiful child, jubilation and his celebration. Mentally he offers so much charity, so many cows in charity. So then Vasudeva offers such beautiful prayers. So my Lord, I understood you as Sakshat Purushaha, Prakrute Paraha, Kevala Anubhava Ananda Swarupaha, Sarva Buddhidruk. So like that he glorifies the Lord in various ways, and he mentions that the Lord is aloof from the creation, and he never entered Devaki's womb because he already existed there. It's inconceivable, right? So modes are under Lord's control, Lord is not under modes control, and Lord assumes various forms and colors, and he appears to kill the miscreants and protect the world. So now, after glorifying the Lord in so many ways with his Aishwarya aspect, right, in as a devotee, he suddenly comes into Vatsalya Bhav, right? He says, Kamsa will come and kill you. So both the prayers of both Devaki and Vasudev are, they begin with reverence and they end with Vatsalya, affection, right? They glorify the Lord in various ways, and at the end they say, we are anxious for your protection. Now Devaki says, everything emanates from you, my Lord. At the time of annihilation, you alone remain, nothing remains. Right? So creation works under the control of time, and that time is another form of yours. Right? Living entities are fearful of death. They sleep peacefully under your shelter. So now, like that, Devaki also glorifies Krishna in various ways, and then finally she expresses her anxiety. Oh, Kamsa will come and kill you. Please retract this wonderful form and then become like an ordinary child so that I can hide you somewhere. So like that she expresses her anxiety for Krishna's protection. So Lord responds, so my dear Devaki and Vasudev, you were actually Sutapa and Prishni in your previous life, right? So you did tapasya for 12,000 years and you desired a son like the Lord. So I appeared in front of you, and in that life I appeared as Prishni Garbha, and in the next life you appeared as Kashyapa and Aditi, and appeared as Vamandev. And now in my original form, not as an expansion, right? In my original form, I am appearing in front of you as Krishna, right? So now at the request of Devaki and Vasudev, Lord transforms into a small child. This four-handed baby is there. He transformed into, small two-handed, small Krishna. Then inspired by the Lord, Bhagavat Prachoditaha, our dear Vasudev, he takes Krishna towards the Gokul, right? He comes out. Then Anantasesha would come and place hoots on him. Then all the
gods would automatically go to sleep because of the power of Lord's energy, you know, Maya energy. Then Vasudeva comes out and Yamuna automatically gives way. And to protect the Supreme Lord Krishna from this rain showers, Anantasesh will come like an umbrella and then extends his hoods, and then Yamuna gives the way, and then he reaches Gokul. At Gokul, Vasudeva sees a beautiful child, baby girl, sleeping next to Yashoda. Yashoda, because of her labor pains, she could not understand whether she gave birth to a baby boy or baby girl. So meanwhile, while she was sleeping, because of her labor pains, Vasudeva would come and then exchange the babies. He takes Krishna and then he goes back to Mathura. And then he goes into Kamsa's prison and then shackles himself and then stays there. Right? That's how the third chapter ends. Now in the fourth chapter, the atrocities of Kamsa are elaborately described. Now Vasudeva brought the baby girl, right, from Gokul to, you know, Kamsa's prison house. There, baby started crying. Yogamaya started crying. Then Kamsa heard. And guards informed Kamsa, and then Kamsa ran. Oh, this is the eighth child. He was so anticipating. He could not sleep there. Right? He was having nightmares only. He was anticipating, when will she give birth? So he immediately came to the prison house. And then although Devaki pleaded Kamsa so piteously, so this is, she is a girl, she is not a boy, right? She can be your daughter-in-law in future, right? I will get her married to your son, right? So this fellow did not hear anything. He just took the baby girl and then mercilessly tried to kill, and then took her, grabbed the infant baby with her feet and then threw her, and then he slipped, the baby slipped from his hands upwards and then became like a eight-handed Durga Devi. So here Sukadeva Goswami describes her form with eight forms, what all weapons that she was holding. She gives a warning. Kamsa, you are a foolish fellow. So you don't know that Lord who is going to kill you, that Lord has already taken birth and he is growing somewhere else. Right? Then Kamsa realized, Devaki must be a very special lady. Otherwise she could not give birth to Durga. Kamsa being a demon, he is a worshipper of Durga. Right? So Durga took birth from Devaki's womb, she must be a very special lady. So for a moment he was overwhelmed with regretful thoughts, and then he went and begged forgiveness from Devaki and Vasudev. I am like a man-eater. I have forsaken all the relatives, right? Even Providence also lies. So Providence said that, but a child became a girl and then she became Durga. I was cheated thoroughly, right? And I killed your children, but that is their misfortune, their karma. I am not responsible. And soul never dies. Whatever Vasudeva told him, he repeated that lesson in the first chapter. So please excuse me. And Devaki and Vasudeva, without keeping any grudge in their hearts, they gave up completely all their anger and forgave Kamsa wholeheartedly. And Kamsa peacefully returned. So although Kamsa peacefully returned, right? So all his demoniac associates started conversation with Kamsa. Kamsa, don't be careless, don't neglect the demigods. We will kill all the children who are less than 10 days old or 10 days old. So demigods are fearful of you. They come to fight with you, but they could never win battle with you, and then they fled away. Only because of your mercy demigods are living, right? So Lord Vishnu resides in the hearts of yogis, and Shiva, he has gone to the forest. Brahma, he is engaged in austerities and meditation. Indra, he is devoid of prowess, what he will do, right? So you have absolutely no fear of anyone, right? So now just give us orders, give your approval, permission, we will go and create havoc. So demigods should not be neglected, but they should be uprooted. So how can the demigods be uprooted? Vishnu is the foundation of demigods. You should uproot Vishnu. And what is the root of Vishnu? Vipra gavascha vedascha tapas satyam damashyamaha shraddha dayatitikshacha kratavascha hrestanu. If we stop all the Vedic rituals and kill brahmanas and cows and stop sacrifices, then Vishnu will be gone. Right? Vishnu will be killed. If Vishnu is killed, demigods are killed. So this is our master plan. Please approve. Right? We are proposing. You should approve. So Kamsa approved. And all these fellows, they were very dear. They were the dearest thing in their lives is to trouble saintly people. And they got approval also now. Now they created so much havoc. So Sukadeva Goswami ends this chapter, fourth chapter, with Ayushriyam Yasho Dharma Lokan Asish Evacha Hanti Shreyamsi Sarvani Pumso Mahadatikramaha. So if one tortures the saintly people, his Ayu, Shriya, Yesha, Dharma, all blessings that he has received, everything is gone. Right? He will be ruined. Only time is separating him from his destruction. So that's how the fourth chapter ends. Now in the fifth chapter, so that is the scene in Mathura. Now shift to the camera to Vrindavan, Gokul. So there, Nanda Maharaj is celebrating the appearance of his son. Right? So no one knows this whole scene, that the exchange of babies happened through the medium of Vasudev. In the dead of the night, no one knows. Right? Because of Yogamaya, everyone in Vrindavan also was sleeping. Gokul also was sleeping. So after, in the morning, they realized that Krishna took birth in the middle of the night. Right? That was Nandasu is happening, is about to happen in the fifth chapter. So this was the festivities that our Nanda Maharaj is celebrating because of the birth of Krishna. Right? He bathed Krishna, purified, dressed nicely, then qualified Brahmanas performed all, you know, rituals and auspicious ceremonies. He worshipped the forefathers and demigods. He donated 2 million decorated cows. And the decoration are not plastic beads. They are like with golden ornaments. And their hoofs are also with gold. And they have silver and ornament jam bedecked cloths on the cows. He donated 7 hills of grain. Right? And in this context, Sukadeva Goswami says this verse, Kalena snana sochabhyam samskarais tapasejaya shuddhyanti danais santushtya dravyani atmatma vidyaya. So by the passage of time, land and other material possessions are purified. And by taking bath, body is purified. By purificatory ceremonies, one's birth is purified. By austerity, senses are purified. And by worship and charity, the brahmanas and material possessions are purified. So like that, in that context, he gives a very beautiful verse. By satisfaction, the mind is purified. By Krishna consciousness, the soul is purified. So these are some additions by Prabhupada also. And there are so many other festivities. Brahmanas chanted mantras and the singers and dancers danced. So Vraja was completely decorated. Cows and bulls were decorated. Gopas and gopis were nicely dressed. Entire Vrindavan or Gokul, the whole cowherd community is celebrating the appearance of Krishna, right, in their lives. So Nanda Maharaj was giving charity to the Brahmanas, right, and Rohini was also, generally when the husband is away from home, so a wife would not decorate herself so nicely and opulently. But for the pleasure of Devaki, Yashoda and Nanda, here Rohini also decorated herself so nicely and engaged herself in receiving guests and many other household activities that the ladies would generally do. So this is the first half of fifth chapter, Nandotsav. And in the second half, we see that Nanda Maharaj goes to Mathura to pay taxes to Kamsa, right? So Nanda Maharaj went, and then he paid taxes and he met Vasudeva. So these are the captions given by Gaurang Prabhu. So when Vasudeva spoke to Nanda, the theme of the verses of, you know, whatever 7-8 verses are, jubilation. First they embraced each other. Reciprocation. Vasudeva offered water to wash the feet of Nanda Maharaj. So Nanda Maharaj was elder to Vasudeva, and Vasudeva would offer obeisances, wash his feet also. Examination. So Vasudeva was inquiring about Krishna and Balaram without mentioning that Krishna is his son. How is your praja? If he says, how is your son, that would be a lie. He is not his son, according to the understanding of Vasudeva. So he asked about how is your praja, and he consoled, consolation. He said that the fortune of meeting, although we are so close relatives and like brothers, we rarely meet each other, right? But this is very common. He says that by quoting this verse. Naikatra priya samvasa suhridam chitra karmanam oghena vyuhamananam plavanam srotashoyatha. Means there are some twigs and small sticks on the surface of water, flowing water. They come together and they get separated. That is how the relationships in this material world are. It is all because of chitra karmanam. Naikatra priya samvasa suhridam chitra karmanam. everyone has their varieties of fruitive results. Right? Chitra karma, everybody's karma is different and unique. Because of that, meeting and separation just happens. Then he asked about the welfare of cows and brahmanas. And Nanda Maharaj also pacified Vasudev, saying that 6 children are killed by Kamsa very mercilessly, because destiny is the ultimate controller. And finally, Vasudev would suggest Nanda Maharaj that you should better go back to Gokul as soon as possible. You paid taxes, your work is done, don't stay here for longer, because there could be some calamities in Gokul. So we go to the next chapter, 6th chapter, the killing of demon Putana.
Like the description mentions that there is a staying house or a place where both of them meet, and that belongs to Nanda Maharaj. So does Nanda Maharaj have a place there, or does he have a place to stay?
See, Vasudev is staying in Kamsa's kingdom, right? Then Nanda Maharaj came to the kingdom of Kamsa and paid taxes. When all the cowherds along with Nanda Maharaj came to Mathura to pay taxes, they have a temporary arrangement there, residence, like tents or other things. So Vasudev secretly came to that residence and they had the meeting. Hotels, restaurants, guest rooms, temporary residence. Okay, the killing of demon Putana, 6th chapter. So now Putana comes to kill. Kamsa orders, right? Kamsa orders all the demons, you go and kill all the 10 babies who are less than or equal to 10 days age. So now in the beginning of 6th chapter, Sukadeva Goswami explains, Putana entered Gokul. Then immediately Parikshit Maharaj got little bewildered. Hey, what will happen now? So Putana came with such poison, with such poisonous intention and poisoned breast. So what will happen? So he was little worried. Then to pacify Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami mentions this verse. Nayatra Savranadini Rakshoghnani Swakarmashu Kurvanti Satvatam Bhartur Yatu Dhanyasya Tatrahi. Wherever the chanting of the holy names or the pastimes of Krishna is happening, all these Yatudhanis, Kecharis, they cannot do anything. They cannot exert their influence at all. Don't worry. Okay. So this Putana came in the form of a very beautiful lady, as good as goddess of fortune, and she entered Gokul, right? And everyone was thinking, who is she? Is she Tilottama, Rambha, Apsara, Menaka, like some demigoddess, or Durga, or Saraswati, or Lakshmi, who came to Gokul to grace us? So they were thinking like that, and no one stopped her in entering anyone's house. And even Devaki and Rohini, Vaishodha and Rohini also did not stop her. So she just directly entered the inside quarters of Krishna's house and then picked up Krishna, baby Krishna. So Krishna closed his eyes, right? You see the picture, Krishna was closing his eyes because everyone is seeing this form of Putana, but Krishna could see that form, the behind form, you see, that he could see. So vapas. In Ram Avatar, I killed a lady demon first. Now also I have to kill a lady first. So I was thinking that Krishna closed his eyes, and there were so many other reasons, 20-25 reasons. So, but foolish Putana, she picked up Krishna and then kept him in her lap as if an unintelligent person puts a snake in his lap, right? She was thinking that I can kill him, but she doesn't know that he would kill her. Right, anantam nimilitekshinah anantam aropya ankam antakam. He is antakam, he can cause anta, but she is keeping her in her anka. She is keeping Krishna in her anka. In anka means lap. So Krishna kills Putana by sucking her life airs along with her milk, right? So she cried, leave me child, and then she went, she created a big havoc and he created a huge sound. And she became so huge, like 12 miles long, she ran and went, entered a garden, which is Kamsa's garden, and fell down there. So Kamsa, Krishna was nicely playing on her body, right? All the gopis and other inhabitants of Raja, they came. And here Sukadeva Goswami describes the dead body of Putana, you know, so elaborately. Her mouth was full of teeth, and nostrils were like deep, like mountain caves. Breasts were like big slabs of stone fallen. So like that, there is a long description. And the Vrajavasis come, and they see that Krishna is playing nicely on her body, and then pick Krishna, and then give Krishna back to Yashoda Mai. And Yashoda Mai and Rohini were like thoroughly struck with wonder, and they were totally devastated because of this experience. This was never expected. But all the other gopis took lead and performed so many rituals for the protection of Krishna. They waved the switch of a cow. Then they washed Krishna with cow urine. They kept cow dung tilak on Krishna's body. They chanted so many nyasa mantras for the protection. They chanted holy names of the Lord that can protect all the various parts of Krishna's body. So like that, they protected Krishna. And all the other Vrajavasis who are of little lower rank, gopas, they burned the dead body of Putana. And that dead body is creating such beautiful fragrance of Ela, Lavanga, so many other agaru, like that. So towards the end of this chapter, Sukadeva Goswami very beautifully describes the great fortune of Putana. Putana Lokabalagni Rakshasi Rudhirashana Jighamsayapi Haraye Stanam Dattvapa Sadgatim. Although she had such evil intentions, by offering her breast to Krishna like a mother, resembling a mother, by exhibiting a motherly activity for a little amount of time, she got Sadgatim. Kim puna shraddhaya bhaktya krishnasya paramatmane yachan priyatamam kimnu raktastan mataro yatha. What to speak of other ladies of Vrindavan who offered their milk from their bodies with great affection and love for Krishna. If Putana can get that beautiful destination, you need not speak about the glorious destination that others might get. Right, padbhyam bhakta hridistabhyam vandhyabhyam lokavanditaihi angam yasya samakramya bhagavan apitatstanam. So padbhyam bhakta hridistabhyam, Krishna's two lotus feet are always in the hearts of devotees. Padbhyam bhakta hridistabhyam vandhyabhyam lokavanditaihi, they were offered obeisances to by such great people who are being offered obeisances, like Brahmaji, Shiva, all that. But those lotus feet, not just lotus feet, entire body of Krishna is embracing Putana. Putana says, leave me, child. But Krishna is embracing Putana, right? Not leaving her, right? What is her great fortune? Yatu dhanya pisa svargam avapa jananim gatim Krishna bhuktastanasthi kshira kimugavo namataraha. What to speak of the motherly gopis? What to speak of all the cows, right? Like that. So Nanda Maharaj came. And then he became aware of what happened here, and he simply thought of Vasudeva's prediction. Vasudeva predicted that there would be some calamities. See, he has become such a great sage. That was the simplicity of Nanda Maharaj. So now we enter the 7th chapter, where Krishna killed 2 demons, Sakatasura and Trinavart. So now in the 7th chapter, actually in the 6th chapter ending, in the Phalastuti of Putana episode, our Sukadeva Goswami mentions that whoever hears this childhood leela of Krishna, right, of killing Putana, etc., he would attain great rati of towards Govinda, great attachment towards Govinda. Then in the 7th chapter, Parikshit Maharaj gets excited and says, don't change the topic. Please continue to describe the childhood pastimes of Krishna only. And he speaks this beautiful verse. Karoti karna ramyani manognani chana prabho. Yes, Srinvatam, Apaiti Aratir Vitrishna, Satvam Chasudhyati Achirena Pumsa, Bhaktir Haro, Tatpurusheta Sakyam, Tadeva Haram, Vadamanya Sechet. So he describes the effect of hearing Krishna's childhood pastimes. Karana Ramyani, pleasing to the ear. Manognani, attractive to the mind. Apaiti Aratihi, destroys apathy.
and vanquishes distaste, and purifies the mind and heart, and increases devotional attachment to the service of the Lord, and increases attraction for Vaishnava's association. That is the effect of hearing Krishna Katha in general and Krishna's childhood pastimes in specific. Right? So he encourages Parikshit Maharaj. Then Parikshit encourages Sukadeva Goswami. So Sukadeva Goswami begins. He continues speaking on Krishna's childhood activities. He speaks of first the Uttana ceremony of Krishna. So when a small newborn baby, after a few days, he starts turning over on his own, that is, there is a celebration there. That is called Uttana ceremony. So Krishna did that. And Yashoda Mai called for the Brahmanas and then celebrated the ceremony. So Yashoda Mai was holding Krishna in her lap and she was receiving all the guests. And Brahmanas were chanting Vedic hymns and Krishna became sleepy. Right, he was little bored of hearing Brahmanas, mantras or whatever, right, Vedic chants. He felt sleepy. So understanding that Krishna is sleepy, so Yashoda Mai took Krishna under a cart, household cart, where so many utensils are kept. So she went inside the cart along with Krishna and slept with Krishna for some time till he was asleep. And after making sure that he is safely sleeping there, she went back and she attended to the guests and doing other household activities, right, receiving Brahmanas, and she was busy there. So now, on the order of Kamsa, one fellow, his name is Sakatasur, right, he has a ghost body, he doesn't have a gross body, so he entered this hand cart so that he can fall on Krishna and kill Krishna. So Krishna knows this, he is all knower, he just kicked this fellow with his feet. You see here, Krishna is kicking the cart, right? So he kicked and the whole hand cart fell down and then it created a huge sound. And Krishna did this under the pretext of calling Mother Yashoda. So he was crying for milk of Mother Yashoda and Yashoda was not responding because she was busy with the guests, right? So just like a small child, infant, baby cries for mother, Krishna cried. And when crying, a child just throws his feet up. So Krishna threw feet up like that only. And all the other children who were little older, they observed this also. Right? So this cart fell down and created such huge sound. Yashoda Mai came and picked up Krishna. And all the other children said, "Arey, this is done by Krishna only. He kicked the cart and it fell down." So nobody paid any heed to what they said. Right? So now that... Now Nanda Maharaj called Brahmanas and then again there is some ceremony for protection of Krishna. Brahmanas chanted mantras and then they gave blessings to Krishna, right, for his protection. Okay, may you be protected from all these kind of calamities like that. Krishna is the protector of the devotees from all calamities, but Brahmanas are blessing him so that he will be protected from calamities, right, and Krishna is accepting them and Nanda Maharaj is approving them like that. Next, on another day, one demon called Trinavarta, he came. He's a whirlwind demon, right? So one day, Yashoda Mai was carrying Krishna in her lap nicely and suddenly Krishna increased his weight. So Krishna showed his one siddhi. He is the Yogeshwara. He has all yogic siddhis. So Krishna became very heavy, heavier than the heaviest. Yashoda Mai could not understand why he is becoming heavy. So she could not keep him on the cot because she understood that cot might break. So she kept him on the floor, right? By the influence of Yogamaya, Yashoda Mai just left him unattended and she went to attend her household chores or call the Brahmanas, right? So meanwhile, actually Krishna wanted to protect Yashoda Mai. He knows that Trinavarta is coming and then he will just take me away. Mother should not get affected. And when I am killing Trinavarta, if mother sees me, then she will develop some reverence. I don't want that, right? And I don't want her also to go into the whirlwind, so she should be safe, right? Let her get absorbed in the anxiety of Vatsalya Bhav till I kill this fellow. That is better than her witnessing my killing of this fellow. Like that. So Krishna did that and Trinavarta came. And then picked up Krishna and went high and high in the sky
And when Trinavarta Trinavarta took Krishna above, so Krishna increased his weight. So when the whirlwind came, Krishna became like a feather. Krishna's weight became like a feather. But when he took him up in the sky 80,000 miles high, so Krishna became heavier than a mountain peak. Right? All this Krishna wanted to do because Mother Yashoda was throwing him up and then catching him. Throwing him up, catching him. Arey, Mother is throwing me only some few feet ahead. I want to go 80,000 miles ahead. Right? I want Trinavarta here. So Trinavarta came. And when he took him up, then he gave darshan to all the apsaras, you know, demigoddesses who wanted to see Krishna. Right? He gave darshan. Krishna, whenever he does something, he does multitasking. Each movement of Krishna has so many purposes to fulfill. So this fellow is unable to bear the weight, and Krishna actually caught his neck so tightly that he is unable to make any voice. He is unable to cry, and he is unable to release Krishna, throw Krishna away, and he just fell down. So this fellow, then when he fell down, he fell right on a rock which is very next to Mother Yashoda and other gopis. So when Mother Yashoda fainted like a cow who faints after the death of her calf, all the elderly gopis, neighboring gopis of Mother Yashoda, came to Mother Yashoda and pacified her and comforted her, and they also had almost equal feelings as Mother Yashoda. They were also devastated, they were crying there. So Krishna wanted to pacify their distress first, and then he straight made this fellow Trinavarta fall on a rock, not on any other house or anything like that, right on the rock, and he died, and Krishna was happily playing on the chest of Trinavarta, and the ladies came and picked Krishna up, and then again they performed certain rituals for Krishna's protection. Then in this same chapter towards the end, Sukadeva Goswami describes another small incident where Yashodamayi was once feeding Krishna her milk, right? So Krishna yawned, and inside his mouth Yashodamayi saw entire universe, right? For a moment she was little bewildered. What's happening? What is there in my child's mouth? What is he, so much variegatedness he is showing? Then her heart began to throb, and her eyes became restless like a baby, like a female deer, right? But after a while, because of the power of Yoga Maya, Yashodamayi forgot all what she has seen, and again she was overwhelmed with the feelings of Vatsalya Bhava towards Krishna. That's how the 7th chapter ends. Now we enter the 8th chapter, where Lord Krishna shows the universal form within his mouth, and where Krishna's naming ceremony also happens. So one day, inspired by Vasudev at Mathura, the family priest of Yadu dynasty, his name is Gargamuni, he comes to Gokul, Nanda Maharaj's Gokul. So Nanda Maharaj, with his folded hands, asks Gargamuni, how can I serve you? Kindly order me. You are a Brahmana, you are already full in everything. So what can I do for you? Right? And you also compiled astrological knowledge, you are expert in astrological science. Kindly execute the reformatory acts for my two sons, Krishna and Balaram. And he mentions this beautiful verse, Mahadvichalanam Runam Grihinam Dena Chetasam Nishreyasaya Bhagavan Kalpate Nanyatha Kvachit. Right? Great personalities would not come to the house of Grihasthas so easily. They come there only to benefit the Grihasthas. Right? So please benefit us by naming our children and predicting the future of children, whatever. So Gargamuni expressed his concern. Right? In short, Gargamuni's concern was, although he had the desire to perform the naming ceremony of Krishna and Balaram, and that was actually the purpose of his coming there, still he did not right away accept, right, this proposal. He said, I am the family priest of Yadu dynasty, and specifically Vasudev. So if I name your children, Kamsa might suspect that they are the children of Vasudev. Right, that might cause harm to your children, that might cause harm to you, that might cause harm to me. So I will not do this. But Nanda Maharaj said, you have come here, right? So we cannot lose this opportunity. So if you feel that Kamsa would cause some trouble, we will do the naming ceremony very secretly in our Goshala. In Goshala, cows will not understand anything, and most of the cows went out for grazing, right? And these two children will not understand anything. And myself and Yashoda Mai and Rohini, they will keep the whole event very secret, very confidential. So now please do this secretly. So Gargamuni agreed to this proposal, and he did the naming ceremony. First he named Balaram because he's elder. He named Balaram as Sankarshan and Rama and Bala, right? So he's the son of Rohini. Ayam hi Rohini putro Ramayan suhurdo gunaihi. So these are the names of Balaram. Then he named Krishna. He said he appeared in the previous yugas also in white, red and yellow colors. Right now he appeared in blackish color. He sometimes appears as son of Vasudeva also. Right, he has many forms, many names. Indirectly he is hinting that this boy Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right. So his name will be Krishna, and he increases the transcendental bliss of all cowherd men. You should protect him nicely, and he will protect you from all calamities. So like that, Gargamuni concluded the naming ceremony. Right. So now, after the completion of this naming ceremony, naming episode, Namakaran, Sukadeva Goswami describes the crawling pastimes of Krishna and Balaram. They were so enchanting. So Rama and Krishna began to crawl by the strength of their hands and knees. Right, Janubhyam, Sahapanibhyam, they were crawling. So they were crawling in the muddy places of cow dung and urine. They were crawling like serpents. Their bodies were smeared with cow dung and cow urine and the vraja dust, godhuli, okay, gomaya. So sometimes they would mistake other ladies as their own mothers from behind, and they just approach those ladies, and when the ladies turn, the gopis, they would realize that, oh, this is not Rohini, this is not Yashoda Mai, and they would become fearful and then they just run away, right? Then Yashoda Mai would catch the, lift Krishna, and Rohini Mai would lift Balaramji and then embrace them and then feed them their breast milk, right? Sometimes these two children, they would go to some small calves, they were sitting there, and then pull their tails, and the calf would get up and then run away. The calf would get scared, and because the calf is running, the children also would get scared and then catch the tail so tightly. And so Krishna is being dragged in the on the land of Vrindavan, which is filled with cow urine, cow dung and cow dust, right? He was like doing some skating there. So this causes so much happiness to all the Vrindavan gopis, like this they were witnessing, and they would come to the rescue of Krishna and Balaram and then lift them up nicely. And many other crawling pastimes are there. And when Yashoda Mai and Krishna would feed, and Yashoda Mai and Rohini would feed Krishna and Balaram their breast milk, they would sometimes see small teeth appearing in their mouths and they would feel so happy. So Krishna grew little bit, right? And he started walking on his feet without the help of his knees and hands, right? So then he started going to other gopis' houses and started stealing so much butter and yogurt and milk from there, right? All the gopis would come to Yashoda Mai and start giving complaints. See, your son is so naughty. In the pretext of giving complaints, they would simply recollect all the beautiful pastimes of Krishna and Balaram, and they would have the pleasure of narrating them. By narrating Krishna's childhood pastimes, one gets so much pleasure. What to speak of if they are being narrated by gopis? So they were just having some Krishna katha. Okay, without mic and without any official hall, assembly hall, they were just gathering together and doing Krishna katha every day in the form of complaints. Right? So they would say, Krishna would come before milking time and release all our calves, and they would drink all the milk from our cows. Right, when the elders in the house would come and then chastise him or do something, he would just smile. If he smiles, no one can. No one can say anything. Right, then like that, there are so many other complaints. So sometimes
Krishna devises steya yogaihi. That was the word used by Sukadeva Goswami. He had different means of stealing butter and yogurt, right? Even if it is hanging high on the ceilings, he would just take some wooden planks and then make some boys bend, and then he would climb on their shoulders and then pick it up, right? Even if the room is dark, he would illuminate the room by their bodily effulgence and by their ornaments, right? So like that. And he would feed the butter to monkeys, like that. There were so many complaints given by Krishna and Balaram, given by all the gopis on Krishna. And Mother Yashoda would hear all these complaints, and then she would say, she would chastise the gopis only and send them away. See, my boy is so innocent, right? So well behaved, right? So disciplined. So how can you complain all this? Like that, she would say, and then send them away. And after they went away, she would take Krishna in her lap and then say, why did you do this? Right? You should not do this. And you are the son of a king. You are the prince of Gokul. If you steal in other sources, what will be the fame of your father? She would chastise. And Nanda Maharaj would come. Nanda Maharaj would come, and at that time Krishna would just jump into the lap of Nanda Maharaj and say, see, Yashoda Mai is just chastising me unnecessarily, very mercilessly, right? Give her some lesson, something like that he would say. Then Yashoda Mai would narrate all the complaints of gopis to Nanda Maharaj. Then Nanda Maharaj would say, no, Krishna is so well behaved. So like that, he would just bring again. Nanda Maharaj would say, Krishna is very well behaved. Nanda Krishna, you just be with me only. Don't go anywhere else, right? But Krishna would jump out of the lap of Nanda Maharaj and goes into the lap of Yashoda, right? That's how the reunion also will happen. So like that, Krishna is stealing butter, doing so many naughty activities, and causing so much pleasure to the Vrajavasis, especially Yashoda and Nanda. So one day, Krishna was playing with some children, and then he ate some dirt. And all the boys saw that. Balaramji also saw. They went and complained to Mother Yashoda. Yashoda, Mata, see, Krishna ate that. So Yashoda Mai came, chased Krishna, and then finally caught Krishna in her hand and said, see, people are complaining that you are eating dirt. Then Krishna says, no, they are plotting against me. We had some quarrel in our games, right? They plotted against me. Balaramji took his side. They are complaining against me. What they say is completely lie. So if you want, check my mouth. He opened the mouth. And again, Yashoda Mai saw the entire universe, full creation. Whatever we have discussed in second canto and third canto, creation leela, she saw the animation movie in Krishna's mouth. And towards the end, she saw herself and Krishna also in her mouth, in his mouth. Right? So Yashoda Mai was little, for a moment she was bewildered. And Sukadeva Goswami very nicely narrates all her contemplation, which is supposed to be the contemplation of the ordinary soul. I was thinking that I am the queen of Vrindavan, wife of Nanda Maharaj, and all these gopas and gopis are my servants. I should not be doing like that. I am just an insignificant servant of Supreme Lord. So like that Yashoda Mai was thinking. So Krishna felt that, hey, Yashoda Mai is going into reverence mode. What is this? I should not be doing, it should not be like this. So because of Yoga Maya, again Yashoda Mai comes back into her Vatsalya Bhav and then caresses Krishna. Right? Then Yashoda Mai would pick up Krishna in her lap and then feeds him and then takes him inside, like that. So towards the end of this chapter, the transcendental position, exalted position of Mother Yashoda is described. The Supreme Master, by the influence of internal potency Yoga Maya, inspired her to become absorbed in intense maternal affection for her son. So although she saw such wonderful universal form in the mouth of her small infant baby, the next moment she forgets everything and she is imbued with parental feelings only, right? This kind of exhibition of universal form or any other opulences of Krishna had the least amount of influence on Yashoda Mai. On top of it, she is convinced that Krishna is dependent on me. I have to protect him. I have to discipline him. He is hungry. I have to feed him. If I don't feed him, he will die. So these were the feelings of Yashoda Mai. So Sukadeva Goswami very nicely described this Yashoda Mai's affection towards Krishna, and this is kind of Paribhasha Sutra of this entire Krishna's Balya Leela. Traya Chopanishad Bhishcha Sankhya Yogaishcha Sattvatam Sattvataihi Upagiyamana Mahatyam Harim Samanya Tatmajam. So, Samanya Atmajam. Although all the three Vedas and the Sankhya literature, Yoga literature, Vaishnava literature, they are just worshipping Krishna, still Yashoda Mai would consider Krishna as her Samanya Atmajam. He is like any other ordinary child of a mother. That was her consideration. So, how is it so? Parikshit Maharaj became very intrigued. How come Nanda Yashoda Mai is having such deep vatsalya affection towards Krishna? I am very much wondered. Please explain it in great detail. Right? Nanda kima karot brahman shreya evam mahodayam Yashoda cha mahabhaga papau yashya hastanam harihi. So, what great austerities or sacrifices or tapasya that Yashoda Mai and Nanda Maharaj had done to have such affection towards Krishna like that? That was the question of Parikshit Maharaj. So, in response to that, Sukadeva Goswami describes the story of Dhara and Drona, who are like Vasus, and they performed great austerities, and Brahmaji came and then gave them benediction that Krishna will be your son. So that was like one glimpse of answer that Parikshit Maharaj was got from Sukadeva Goswami. Then Sukadeva Goswami glorified the position of Mother Yashoda. Actually, Sukadeva Goswami says, in the association of Nanda and Yashoda, the gopis and gopas developed culture of bhakti, Krishna bhakti. Basically, Dhara and Drona episode he is concluding by saying that Dhara and Drona appeared as Nanda and Yashoda, and all other Vrajavasis are also imbued with bhakti. Here are some certain examples. Right? Krishna and Balaram lived in Vrindavan and increased the transcendental pleasure of Nanda Maharaj. So this is the devotion of Yashoda Mai. But Parikshit Maharaj is not very much satisfied with this answer. So then suddenly, our Sukadeva Goswami remembered this Damodar Leela. Right? It is not because of the austerities that Yashoda Mai attained the position of Krishna's mother. It is her innate nature. She is a Nitya Siddha devotee. She is eternally the controller of the Supreme Controller. Eternally Krishna is under her control. Right? She is having that exalted position. So the end of this chapter, 9th chapter, is the glorification of Yashoda Mai, and the whole pastime that is described in this chapter is like a case study for that glorification of Yashoda Mai. Right? One day, on a Diwali day, Yashoda Mai got up early from her bed and then started churning butter from curd made from Padmagandha milk. Right? So she was singing about Krishna's activities, and Krishna was sleeping in the next room. Right, he felt so much separation from Yashoda Mai. My mother is working so hard for my satisfaction. I should immediately go there and accept her service. Right, he came, he got up, cried, searched for his mother. He went to his mother and then just caught the churning rod. Now is the time for you to personally serve me. Right, not through the, you should stop this churning business. And Yashoda Mai was so impressed with Krishna's intelligence. Oh, my child is developing such great intelligence, right? Because he is catching hold of churning rod to stop churning. He knows where to catch to stop this process. Actually, Yashoda Mai was churning like this because she was worried. All the gopis are coming and complaining. Krishna is not very much satisfied with the butter which I am providing in my house. That's why he is going to other gopis' houses. That's why she personally grew Padmagandha grasses and personally tended Padmagandha cows and then personally made yogurt and personally churning butter now for the satisfaction of Krishna. So Krishna came and he demanded Yashoda Mai's milk, and he just climbed into the lap of Mother Yashoda. That is his property. He need not be invited. Yashoda Mai happily fed Krishna, and while she is feeding Krishna, it was a long time passed, suddenly Yashoda Mai hears that in the kitchen, so milk is, Padmagandha milk is overflowing on the pan.
right, to protect that milk and for future service of Krishna, Yashoda Mai picked up Krishna and kept him aside and then ran into the kitchen. She cannot carry Krishna also because she has to run very fast to protect the milk and Krishna may slip off from her hands. And there were so many reasons which we discussed in our regular class. So Krishna did not like this, right? My mother leaves me unattended just to protect a few liters of milk. So he picked up a stone and then threw on the pot and broke the pot. He went into another room. He climbed on a mortar. He picked up butter which was churned from the, which was made from the previous day's milk, right? So that he can become sick and then Yashodamayi had to take him to hospital and spend a lot of money. So he picked that up and then he came out. He distributed that butter to monkeys and he started eating it himself. He was sitting on a mortar. Then Yashodamayi came and realized that Krishna broke the pot and ran away. Following his small butter footprints, Yashodamayi went behind Krishna and then suddenly manifested in front of Krishna with the stick. Right? Krishna never saw that kind of avatar of Yashodamayi. Right? So Krishna just jumped off the grinding mortar and ran away from there. And Yashodamayi started chasing Krishna. Right? And while she is chasing Krishna, the Malati flowers on her head, they were thinking that we should not participate in this conspiracy. Right? Yashodamayi is going against Krishna's desires, so we should fall off. So they fell off. Another group of Malati flowers thought, oh, Yashodamayi is such a great devotee. She is serving Krishna so nicely. So we will fall at her feet. Right? So they fell down. Other group of flowers, they were thinking that Yashodamayi is working so hard to catch Krishna. Let's reduce her burden. Right? We are heavy. We'll fall off. Her burden will be reduced. So like that, there are so many other beautiful features of this chase. Finally, once Krishna was turning back, where did Yashodamayi reach? So he turned back and Yashodamayi caught his right hand and then brought him, right? Then Yashodamayi started chastising Krishna, right? You monkey lover, you house plunderer, you are a thief, butter thief, you are like a monkey by associating with monkeys, you are behaving like a monkey. Right? Why did he do so much mischief? And Krishna gave so many arguments which are all lies only. Right? I never broke. Your anklets broke the butter pot. So like that, there was very beautiful and sweet conversation that happened between Yashodamayi and Krishna. And finally, Yashodamayi thought that this fellow will just run away into the forest. Because Yashodamayi, when she compared Krishna to monkey, Krishna said, if I am a monkey, I will go to the forest and live with the monkeys only. I will go out of your house. So now, this is the festival day. I have to do so many other arrangements. So I can't spend time with this child. So I should tie him. That was her plan. So she brought some rope and Krishna was protesting. Right? I should not be tied. I have my plans to do so much butter stealing today. I have to do so much mischief with all my friends. So I should not be tied up like this. So he was not agreeing. And his Aishwarya Shakti manifested in his belly and was not allowing Mother Yashoda to tie. Right? Yashodamayi brought more and more and more rope, but still nothing was happening. Right? So finally, Krishna's Kripa Shakti took over. Right? And Aishwarya Shakti just went away. So because devotee Yashodamayi is trying so hard to bind Krishna, so Krishna's Kripa Shakti, which is the ultimate Shakti of all of his opulences, it manifested and allowed Mother Yashoda to buy. Right? Although the rope was 2 fingers too short, Drishtva Parishramam Krishna Kripaya Asid Swabandhane. Seeing the Parishrama, the endeavor of Mother Yashoda, Krishna agreed to be bound by her. Right? So finally, Krishna bound. So now, Krishna was bound. Then the last few verses, 3-4 verses of this chapter are pure glorification of Vatsalya Bhav. Just like Rasalila is the epitome of all Madhurya pastimes, Damodar Lila is the epitome of all Vatsalya pastimes. Right? So, evam sandarshita hyanga harina bhrityavashyata. What is next? Svavasena api krishna sheshwaram. Yasedam sheshwaram vashe. All the great controllers like Brahma, Indra, they are under the control of Krishna, but Krishna has one quality of being controlled by his devotees. Evam sandarshita hyanga. To exhibit this quality of Harina Bhritya Vashyata, Krishna agreed to be bound up. Bhritya Vashyata is the highest quality of Krishna, right? His mercy on his devotees. Then Sukadeva Goswami, this kind of the feature of absolute truth, crying, begging for the mercy of Mother Yashoda, this will never happen with any other devotee, right? That's why Mother Yashoda is the supremely glorious devotee of Krishna. Nemam virincho na bhavana shri rapyanga samshrayah prasadam lebhire gopi tattat prapta vimuktidat. So this kind of privilege was not available to Shiva, Brahma, Lakshmi, right? Only Yashoda Mayi got this kind of special vimukti, special prasada. Nayam sukhapo bhagavan dehinam gopika sutaha. So no one can approach Krishna through mental speculation and other activities of self-realization, austerities, penances, etc. Only by bhakti one can approach Krishna. So like that, Sukadeva Goswami concludes the glories of Mother Yashoda by giving a case study of Damodar Leela. So, Damodar Leela of, Yashodamayi binding Krishna happened. What happened after binding? So, that is described in the 9th chapter, 2nd chapter. So, what happened was, there were two sons of Nalaku, two sons of Kuvera. They were Nalakuvara and Manigriva. Right? So, they were very highly qualified. They had the association of Shiva. They were staying in the Kailasha hill. They were at the bank of Mandakini river. Still, Dhanadatmajau, because they are the son of the greatest opulent man, they became so intoxicated by that wealth and they misused their position. Right? They started drinking liquor called Varuni. They were accompanied by some naked woman and they were entering Mandakini and dancing and drinking there and then chilling out with these girls, right? At that time, Narada Muni appeared. So although Narada Muni appeared, these two people were not covering their bodies or not doing anything to receive or respect Narada Muni. But those girls, they came to their senses and then they covered their bodies and then they went out. So Narada Muni was not happy with their disgusted condition. So there are so many verses of Narada Muni describing the dangers of material wealth. Nahyanya joshato joshyan buddhi bramsho rajo gunah sri madad abhijatyajer yatra sri dhyutam asavah. What can ruin a person, the maximum is wealth. Because if he has wealth, although he doesn't have beauty or education, whatever, he can still utilize that wealth and enjoy with women, wine and gambling. He can break all regulative principles if he has a lot of money. And he describes in detail all the dangers of having material wealth, right? And he describes the benefits of poverty. And finally, he curses this Nalakuvara and Manigriva to become poor trees. But the benediction which is there in this curse is, they would become trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. They would get the opportunity to witness the pastimes, childhood pastimes of Krishna, standing right in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. This courtyard of Nanda Maharaj is not ordinary, because Krishna is personally manifesting all his sweetest possible leelas in that courtyard, and this Nalakuvara and Manigriva got that opportunity to witness them. Right? So this is a special curse. Right? At the end, both of you would see Lord face to face. That's how Narada Muni said. And these two, Nalakuvera, Manigriva, these two people became the trees. And Krishna was getting bored. He was tied up and Balramji came. And he tried to protect Krishna by, putting a proposal in front of Mother Yashoda. Yashoda would not agree to release Krishna. So Balramji is also crying, Krishna is also crying. And by the encouragement of all other Gopas, Krishna would just crawl, pull the wooden mortar right in the midst of these two trees and then empower the rope to pull down those two trees, and the two trees collapsed, creating such a huge sound. Then from those two trees,
these two personalities, Nalakuvar and Manigriva, appeared and offered such beautiful prayers to Krishna, small Krishna. And we will not go into the details of prayers, but one prayer we will go into detail. That is Vani Gunanukathane Sravano Kathayam Hastavcha Karmashamanas Tava Padayornaha. So may our words describe your pastimes. May our ears hear your glories. May our hands and legs and senses engage in activities that are pleasing to you. Right? May our minds always be thinking of your lotus feet. Right? Smrityam Shirastava. May our heads offer obeisances to you. Nivasa Jagat Praname. All things in this world are also your different forms. Right? Drishtihi Satam Darshane Astu Bhavat Tanunam. Our eyes, when they see the Vaishnavas who are non-different from you, may we offer obeisances like that. So this is a prayer to Krishna. Then Krishna replies to this Nalakuvar and Manigriva that when one is in face-to-face with a sadhu, one will no longer subject to material bondage. So because of Narada Muni's mercy, I have shown some mercy on you. Otherwise, I am absorbed in my Vatsalya Leela with my mother. Why should I think about you? Right? Only because Narada Muni wanted me to show some mercy towards you, I am just showing some mercy. Right? So one can approach Krishna only through a devotee. So that's how the 10th chapter ends. We'll take a break. Some are sleepy. Thank you. show me. Hare Krishna. So we'll begin with the 11th chapter. So 11th chapter describes so many small pastimes of Krishna. So first 6 verses are describing the climax of Damodar Leela. So Krishna made these two twin Arjuna trees collapse, and Nanda Maharaj came, and then he saw, he was wondering who tied Krishna and how come these two trees fell down without any wind or without someone causing them to fall down. So like that, so all the cowherd boys said, no, this is done by Krishna only, right? Krishna has done this. So no one believed this, and some people also thought, oh, Krishna is equal to Narayana, as Garugamuni said, Narayana samogunaihi, that may be possible also. So they felt like that. So that's how that Damodar Leela episode was concluded. Next, just in 2 verses, Sukadeva Goswami describes this beautiful pastime, which is fruit vendor pastime. So one day, a fruit vendor came and called all the Vrajavasis. She is like a Pulinda woman, right? So she would just bring some fruits and then exchange those fruits with some grains. So she was calling, you purchase some fruits. So Krishna was very attracted to that call. And then he took up few grains and then approached that fruit vendor. But by the time he approached the fruit vendor, all the grains which were like in his hands, very small hands, most of them fell down. Only some few grains only remained, right? But that fruit vendor was so enchanted and attracted by Krishna's beauty, and then accepted those few grains only and filled Krishna's hands with fruits. Then she looked at her basket, and her basket was filled with so many jewels and gold and valuable gems and stones, right? So that was the fruit vendor pastime. The next, once Mother Rohini, so Krishna and Balaram and all the gopas were so much absorbed in the play, so Yashodamai sent Rohini. Rohini, you should go and call them, so they should come for lunch. So this morning, His Grace Radhakrishna Prabhu very beautifully explained this whole episode. I will not get into details. So Rohini Mai went and called. So they didn't come. Then Yashoda Mai went and called. They were still not coming, but Yashoda Mai just went and grabbed their hands and then brought them back home. Right? Bringing Godhead back home, as Prabhuji said nicely. So after that, there was a big meeting between the between Nanda Maharaj, then Upananda, then our other elderly cowherd men. So they were considering that Putana came and disturbed, Sakatasur came, Trinavarta came, and recently, without any cause, this two trees fell down. There were so many calamities, especially they were targeting Krishna and Balaram only. So we should shift our place. We should shift our residence from Gokul Mahavan to somewhere else. So there was a nice meeting. There were so many lessons from that meeting, how to conduct ideal meetings. So that was very nice. Gauram Prabhu took out so many lessons. So the conclusion of the meeting was, everyone unanimously agreed that they should shift from Gokul Mahavan to Vrindavan. So for the welfare of Krishna and Balaram, all the cowherd community, with very short notice, so we are very much troubled or whatever by these short notices. There are so many spontaneous services. But here, see, what could be more spontaneity than this? So all the entire cowherd community was told to shift their residences to some other place. So everyone shifted. So Yashoda Mai, Rohini were sitting in a chariot. Chariot means like bullock cart, not chariot. Bullock cart with Krishna and Balaram. And then on the way, they were seeing so many things and then very nicely moving towards Vrindavan. They kept all the animals in front, cows in front, then ladies in front, children in front, and old men in front, and all the elder gopas, strong gopas were behind. So after shifting to Vrindavan from Gokul Mahavan, so Krishna and Balaram, at that time, their age was a little above 3 years, right? So 3 years old. So Krishna and Balaram were given charge of calves, right? So they took care of calves. So they would take all the small calves, baby calves, and then go to forest and then tend them throughout the day and come back. That was their service. That is the Vaishya cowherd community service, right? So they were taking care of calves. So one day, a demon named Vatsasur was sent by Kamsa. So he came. He came in the form of a calf and then mixed with the calf head, right? Mixed with all the calves that Krishna and Balaram were taking care of. So, but Krishna noticed. So Krishna noticed that this is calf is not our calf, it's a demon calf. So Krishna went and then caught that small calf by his hands and then swirled it around and then threw it on the top of a tree that is Kapitta tree. And the demon fell dead and the tree also showered so many Kapitta fruits. So all the cowherd boys very nicely enjoyed those fruits and the death of this Vatsasura also. Then there is another demon, Bakasura. Bakasura came in the form of a big crane with a gigantic body like a mountain, right? So he came and then immediately swallowed Krishna. So by seeing this, all the cowherd boys were almost fainting and they fell almost like dead. Then even Balramji also was for a moment, he was bewildered. Hey, Krishna, where did he go? So this crane came and swallowed Krishna. But to everyone's surprise and everyone's astonishment and hope, so Krishna just came out of this Bakasura's mouth, beak, and then bifurcated its beak and then caused its death. Right, this Bakasura. Bakasura is brother of Putana. That's a glorious family. So when this Bakasura was killed and Vatsasura was killed, all the small gopas, 3-year-old gopas, right, they came back from the forest and then narrated all these incidents to all the elderly gopis and gopas. So iti nandadayo gopa Krishna Rama kathamuda kurvanto ramamanasya navindam bhavyadanam. So in this way, Nanda Maharaj and all the cowherd men, they were ecstatically discussing and enjoying the topics of Krishna and Balaram. Kurvanto ramamanasya. They were happily discussing those pastimes and navindam bhavyadanam. They are not experiencing any material tribulations like that. They did not perceive only. That's how the 11th chapter ends. Now we enter the 12th chapter. This is Aghasura episode. So Aghasura is brother of again Putana and Bakasura. So this PPT is as it is taken from His Grace Radhesham Prabhu's class that day. Prabhuji presented. So one day, Krishna got a desire to have breakfast in the forest. So till that time, they would take breakfast and go to the forest with their calves. One day Krishna thought, we will take breakfast there only. So he already informed Yashoda Mai the previous day only, you should prepare breakfast very early. I have to eat as a picnic. I have to eat with all my friends in the form of a picnic. So Krishna woke up and then blew his bugle and all the cowherd boys got up. Actually, they were waiting for this sound. When will the sun rise? When will we associate with Krishna and then go for cowherd, take all the calves to the forest and enjoy playing with him? So Krishna went with all his asankhya cows and asankhya boys into the forest. So in the forest, they would all have nice games, right? Krishna is standing there. All the boys would have some competition. Who would touch Krishna first? Who will touch Krishna first? So they would go and touch Krishna. So and they would decorate themselves with some flowers and leaves and twigs and some minerals naturally available in the forest, right? So although their mothers decorated them with beautiful ornaments, they would keep them aside and then they would take some of their natural ornaments. So and also these cowherd boys would play with each other and tease each other also. Sometimes they would pick up the lunch box of some other gopa and then pass it on, and then when the gopa was crying, and then they would return it back like that. Sometimes they would imitate birds and monkeys. Sometimes they would play flutes and bugles and make such beautiful sounds like that they were playing. And they happened to see a big cave kind of thing,
right, all the gopas saw. Agasura actually came with the evil intention to destroy the entire cowherd community. Because Agasura knows the family affection of all this cowherd community. First, I will kill all these children. By killing the children, all their parents also will die. So that was Agasura's plan. So Agasura opened its mouth like a big cave and then stood there. So all the children got attracted. And different people were giving different arguments. What is this thing? What is this cave? This never was here. Suddenly, why did it come? Right, some bad smell is coming. So many arguments were happening between the gopas. And finally, they decided, even if this was a demon, we have no fear. Krishna will protect us. Let's go inside, do some adventure, have some fun. So all the gopas just went inside. So Krishna was little, little taken aback. Momentarily, he was also bewildered. See, what is my maya? Like that, all the gopas entered the mouth of Aghasur, inside, deep inside, and all the demigods were standing there, that they were watching the whole thing. So Aghasur did not close its mouth. Aghasur was waiting for Krishna to enter. So Krishna entered, and all the demigods were like fearful. Hey, Krishna is entering, what will happen? So Krishna entered, and then he increased his size more and more, and he became big and big. Okay, and the life airs of Aghasur had no route to pass out, right? It was choking up inside, and then the life air came out of its head, and then it stood outside. So Krishna came out of this Aghasur's body along with all the gopas. Then that soul of Aghasur, it came and merged into the body of Krishna, like that. So all the cowherd boys just got up, and then they were taking lunch nicely. They were celebrating. And Aghasur's body became a nice playground for all the gopas, right? So this past life thing and the anarthas that all these demons represent, we have one slide at the end, right? The summary slide. So the tumultuous roar and the celebration of the death of Aghasur went up to Brahmaloka. Brahma became aware that Krishna killed Aghasur, right? Who is that Krishna? A small cowherd boy. And also, Sukadeva Goswami mentioned at the end of this chapter that all the cowherd boys narrated this pastime after 1 year, as if it happened just now only, like that. So Parikshit wanted to know, how come they narrated this pastime 1 year later, right? So in response to that, the whole Brahma Mohan Leela is spoken. So now Brahma became aware there, right? Brahma became aware of Krishna killing Aghasur, but he couldn't believe it because of the illusory energy of Krishna. So after killing of Aghasur, all the gopas and Balramji and all the cowherd boys assembled there, and they were having prasad, their lunch. There, the beautiful description comes how Krishna was sitting in the midst of all the gopas, and although there were some thousands and thousands of gopas, each gopa was thinking and experiencing as if Krishna is standing right in front of him and reciprocating with him, eye to eye contact, right? So they were exchanging their jhota food, with each other, right? They were playing games and, oh, see, Yashoda Mai cooked this, you taste this. Oh, my mother cooked this, you taste this. Prabhavati cooked this, you taste this. So like that, they were exchanging. So although Krishna has to be offered food in such a reverential mode with, idam paniyam, clove water, this and that. So these people are not following any rules. They were giving jhuta and Krishna is happily accepting. Seeing all this, Brahmaji got bewildered, and then he wanted to test Krishna, right? He observed. So what happened was, calves, while Krishna and Balaram and all the gopas, they were taking their lunch there, all the calves were heading there, and calves disappeared. That is because of Brahma only. Brahma only kidnapped them, right? So Krishna went out. All the gopas became worried. Krishna said, no, you continue. You continue your lunch. So I will go and search for calves. So Krishna went out as if he is an innocent child
who is going to, cowherd boy, who is going to search for his calves. So Krishna went outside. So meanwhile, Brahmaji came back and then he kidnapped all these gopas also. So he kidnapped gopas, he kidnapped calves. Then Krishna understood this. And to bewilder Brahma even more, Krishna, like an innocent child who is missing his friends and calves, he was searching everywhere in the forest. Where are my cows? Where are my calves? Where are my friends? And Brahmaji, oh fine, let's see what will happen. So he went there. He went there. In a moment he returned back because he knows he is playing with Krishna. I can't stay for more than a moment. So that moment is 1 year. So meanwhile, in that moment, in that 1 year, so Krishna expanded himself into all the gopas and calves, exactly resembling their bodily colors, bodily structures, bodily size, and then mannerisms, right? In every aspect, he imitated all the features of all these cows and calves and gopas. And in that way, he reciprocated with the vatsalya affection of all the mothers of Vrindavan and all the cows of Vrindavan. Because all the cows were thinking, when will I feed Krishna? And all the mothers of Vrindavan, they were thinking, if Krishna were my child, I would also feed nicely Krishna like Yashoda Mai. They were not envious of Yashoda, but they were appreciating Yashoda and they were also seeking that opportunity to caress Krishna like a mother. So Krishna is playing their part and all the leelas were happening nicely. Yashoda Mai is receiving Krishna nicely. Nanda Maharaj, the reciprocations are happening. And this, in this 1 year, a 5-year-old boy will grow into 6-year-old boy. How much ever growth that a boy can grow, Krishna is manifesting that much growth also, right? Exactly resembling everything. So, Vrajayoka Samsato Keshu Sneha Valyad Abdham Anvaham. One more wonder that happened in this 1 year is the affection of all the mothers and fathers in Vrindavan towards their children is increasing more and more day by day because Krishna is directly their son. So, one day, all the gopas, boys, they were nicely herding the calves and all the elderly gopas, they were herding their cows. So one day, the cows from the top of a hill saw calves. So they came together. So all the cows ran towards these calves out of intense maternal affection because all those calves were Krishna only. Right? They ran and they fed milk. And all the elderly gopas, so they were herding the cows. They were little offended and they were thinking, hey, how come in our presence cows are going out of our control? So they, with little anger, they came chasing the cows and then they saw their own children. And they were overwhelmed with so much parental affection and they embraced their children, they kissed their children, they shed tears of affection and bathed them completely. So Balramji saw this. Balramji saw and then said, I never saw this much affection. So, all of them are loving their children as if they were you, right? All the Vrindavan Vasis love Krishna the most and now they are loving their own children the most, right? As if they were you only. How did this happen? So, Balramji inquired. So, there were some curtains and all. So, nor these boys are demigods, they are not sages like Narada. Now, I can see alone that they are manifesting, they are your manifestations only. Is it true? So Balramji inquired Krishna. Krishna told him, yes, they are me only. That's why they are loving them so much. So now Brahmaji tried to mystify Krishna, who mystifies the entire universe. But he himself was mystified. He was bewildered. He was thoroughly humbled. Right? He was thoroughly embarrassed. But he himself was put into bewilderment by Lord's mystic power. Right, power used on one big person will be of no use and instead the power of the inferior person will be diminished like that. So now Brahmaji came and then he observed everything is happening same. So whether the calves and boys that I am hiding at my place, secret place, they were illusion or they were illusion or both I can see simultaneously, what's happening? He was bewildered. Then Krishna manifested all his four-handed Vishnu forms, right? All these gopas and these calves became four-handed Vishnus and all those Vishnus merged inside Krishna and Krishna exhibited the glory of Vrindavan. He displayed all his opulences, he displayed all the universes and Brahmaji
he is thoroughly bewildered and then became once again aware of the glory of Krishna, and then he offered such beautiful prayers. Right, that is the 14th chapter. So we should not go into the details of the prayers, but couple of prayers we'll touch. Okay, first prayer is about the beauty of Krishna's limbs. Then 2nd to 8th, who can understand and who cannot understand the glories of the Lord. The 9 to 15 is Brahma condemns his impudence and presents reasons to forgive him. You should forgive me, I am impudent, like that. And finally, Brahma says Lord's inconceivable qualities, right, and glories of devotional service and begging for mercy, and many other aspects of this chapter. First verse, we'll just touch 2-3 verses, very key verses. First is Navamidyate Bravabhushe Taditambaraya. Yesterday we discussed this. So Brahmaji's intention in saying this verse is, this beautiful Balgopal form in cowherd, as a cowherd boy, is the topmost manifestation of the absolute truth. That was his intention in the first verse. Right? And third verse, this is also very important. Jnane prayasamadapasya namanta eva jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiya vartam. Sthane stitah srutigatam tanuvan manobhir. Ye prayaso jita jitopyasi taistrilokyam. So this is very important verse for us, because when Lord Chaitanya was questioning Ramananda Rai, he was giving so many proposals, right? What is the highest goal of life? What is the highest sadhya? Then he first proposes sarva dharman parityajya, then so many other steps he proposes. So till Ramananda Rai said this verse, Jnane prayasam udapasya, Mahaprabhu never accepted, right? Till this point, Mahaprabhu is saying, Eho bahya, Eho bahya, Eho bahya. When he said, Eho hai, this is something, okay? Now we are coming into the desirable zone. So this verse is, Jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva. You give up your own endeavors to understand things or to, you know, become successful or whatever. Namanta eva. Surrender unto one superior authority, right? And hear from him. Hearing needs some humility. You give up your own endeavors to attain success, you take shelter of some superior person. Jeevanti san mukharitam bhavadiya vartam. You hear from qualified people about my glories, right? You need not change your occupation. Sthane sthitaha. You can be there. You can be Brahmana, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Sudra, whatever. You can do that occupation. Srutigatam tanuvan manobhir. But dedicate all your activities, body, mind, words, everything in glorification of the Lord. Then you will be able to conquer Krishna. Then Mahaprabhu got very impressed. Right? Very beautiful verse. Then Shreya Srutim Bhakti Madasyate Vibho Stola Toshavaghatinam. Another beautiful verse. Right? So, Tatenu Kampam. What can be a better verse than this? How devotee should tolerate all the, tolerate all the calamities that come upon him and consider them as mercy of Krishna and the result of his past deeds, like that. And there is another verse, beautiful verse. You are the origin of Narayana. You are the original Narayana. Narayanastam nahi sarva dehinam. Kaviraj Goswami quotes this verse several times in Chaitanya Charitamrita to prove the superiority of Krishna over Narayana. Because just now Brahmaji has seen so many Narayanas merging into Krishna. Who is original? After merging, Brahmaji says, now we have shown your original form, Krishna. After showing all your opulences of Vaikuntha and all the personified opulences worshipping you and all the 400 Vishnu forms, right? After exhibiting everything, now we have shown your original form as cowherd boy of Vrindavan. That is the original form of Krishna. Remaining are all forms that are coming out of him. Right, this is another important verse. I think 14th verse. You are the origin of Narayana. Narayanastam nahi sarva dehinam. Okay, there are so many prayers. So we will skip all of them. Then we will come to the end of the chapter, where after this whole prayers, about 40 prayers, Parikshit Maharaj asks Krishna, asks Sukadeva Goswami, how come all the inhabitants of Vrindavan had such affection towards Krishna, who is someone else's son? So Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami gives a simple answer, that a person loves himself the most, right? His love towards himself is manifested as his affection towards his body. And because his body is dear to him, his bodily possessions and bodily relatives are dear to him. But ultimately, everyone loves his own self the most, right? And why does he love his own self the most? Because that soul is a part and parcel of Krishna. He is the soul of all souls. He is Atmanam Akhilatmanam. So the basic principle there is, unless anything is connected with Krishna, it doesn't have the capacity to attract the attention or affection of anyone. A person loves himself the most only because he is the part and parcel of Krishna, because he is connected with Krishna. That means what? The dearmost of every person, dearmost object of every person is Krishna. That dearness is manifested as his dearness towards his own self, and that is manifested as his dearness to country, bodily relatives and everything else, right? So, in the original constitutional position, in the natural state, natural condition of every living entity, every person loves Krishna the most. And Vrajavasis are in their natural state of consciousness. They are in the purest form of living entity, right? That's why they now love Krishna the most. There is no wonder in it. That is the default condition of any soul. And Vrajavasis are in the default condition of the soul. So now, all the conditioned souls, they are covered up so much that they have lost their original state, like the Vrajavasis. This is the answer given by Sukadeva Goswami. He spoke, quotes this verse. Samasridaya padapallavaplavam mahatpadam punyayashomayare bhavambhudir vatsapadam parampadam padam padam yadvapadam natesham. For devotees who have accepted the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, this entire world is not a place where there is a danger at every step. Right? They can easily cross over the ocean of material existence. That ocean becomes a small calf's footprint. That's how that chapter ends. Now we enter the 15th chapter. This is killing of Dhenukasur. This is Gardabhasur, means donkey asur. So, yeah, this has so many sections. First, all the cowherd boys enter the Vrindavan forest, and Krishna praises the trees, right? And so many other childhood activities of Krishna are also mentioned. And a small prelude to Kaliya Daman Leela is also given in this chapter. So first Krishna and Balaram began tending cows. So far they were tending calves. Now they began tending cows. Okay, they entered the Pauganda age from 6th year. Right? So they entered the Vrindavan with all the cowherd boys and calves. And the trees are bending down to touch Balaramji's feet. Right, Lord smiled and then glorified the trees of Vrindavan. Right, Pranay, Rarthay, Thiya, Vacha, all this come here. Then peacocks are dancing, cuckoos are praying. Okay, earth is very fortunate by the touch of Balaramji. So Krishna is glorifying Balaramji. Right, and all the cowherd boys and Krishna and Balaram, they engaged in so many playful activities. Right, like imitating the peacocks, right, dancing like peacocks. Krishna would dance like peacocks so much, and then he says, see, this peacock doesn't know how to dance, I am dancing better, and everyone will laugh. Right, see, everyone is laughing here. So some people, they imitate the cows, some people imitate the swans, right, imitate the bees, they also make sounds like bees, like that. So see, this boy is imitating this bird. So this Krishna is imitating frog, right? This boy is imitating peacock. So like that, this boy is imitating monkey. So like that, they were nicely imitating everyone. And sometimes Krishna would become tired, and all the gopas would assist him. When Balaramji becomes tired, Krishna would take the feet of Balaramji and then massage his feet nicely and glorify him. And all the other cowherd boys would blow conch shells and then fan Balaramji. Sometimes when Krishna becomes tired, all the boys would make a nice pillow with, we have better picture, pillow with leaves and flowers, and somebody would massage his feet. Balramji will pick up some peacock fan and then make a fan. So like that, they are very nicely enjoying the dhenu, this their forest visit, right, during the day. So now Dhenukasar episode begins like this. All the boys along with Krishna and Balaram, they enter the forest, okay, which is close to Talwan. And while going, they would play their flutes, and all the deer and peacocks, they would get attracted to him. Right? Sometimes they would imitate deers, sometimes they would imitate tigers, right? And one boy would imitate a tiger and other boys would run away, right? Thinking the tiger is coming to attack. Right? Then now all the cowherd boys would request Krishna and Balaram. Actually, all these boys understood that Krishna and Balaram are hungry, doing so many pastimes. And they all, their desire is that Krishna and Balaram would eat tal fruits in Talwan. Right? But if they present in front of Krishna Balaram that, oh, you should take tal fruit, you must be hungry, they would not agree. So all the boys felt that we are hungry. Right? We are hungry, please feed us. Then Krishna and Balaram would endeavor and then get some fruits. So in the pretext of fulfilling their own hunger, they will fulfill the hunger of Krishna and Balaram. That is their glorious plan. So they presented in front of Balaramji and Krishna. So not far from here is a forest. It is called Talwan. It is filled with palm trees. So there are so many fruits there. They are very delicious. But that forest is guarded by Dhenuka. Right? He is in the form of an ass. Right, he is surrounded by his friends. Right, he eats men live. Donkey eating man. See, only Gardabasar, donkey asar can do it. So even animals are afraid. Even birds are afraid to fly above that Talwan. Right. So our minds are attracted to those sweet fruits. Let's go. If you think it's a good idea, let's go. See, they are describing about Dhenukasar and Talwan here to Krishna and Balaram. They are nicely hearing here. So all of them decided to go. They went towards the Talwan. Then the killing of Dhenukasar happened. So Krishna and Balaram laughed, and then they set off to Talwan, and then they began. Krishna Balaram went and shook the trees. A small 6-year-old boy, he is shaking the palm tree and palm fruits are falling down. Generally, to bring down palm trees, you have to climb and then you have to take koitai and then cut, so much endeavor. But Balaramji just shakes, all will fall down. So then the donkey came and kicked on Balaramji's chest and brayed loudly. Right? So Balaramji seized his hooves and then reels him around, throws on the top of a tree. Right? So like that, Krishna and Balaram would just kill all the donkeys and the donkey friends. Right? Donkey has so many other friends. They are in different colors. Blue, pink, yellow, magenta. They are in different colors. So they killed all these donkeys, and they enjoyed the tal fruits very nicely. Right? So all this we discussed. And they came back. And they came back from their herding service that day. And then they came back towards their houses. So on the way, when they were coming back, so Lord's hair was covered with dust. Right? Go Raja. And gopis came forward to meet him. So all the gopis, they drank the nectar of Krishna's darshan and Balaramji's darshan through their eyes, right? They felt separation throughout the day. Now their feelings of separation were little pacified. So they entered their house, and all the mothers like Rohini and Yashoda and all other mothers of the cowherd boys, they would receive them. They bathed them nicely, they massaged their bodies, they dressed them nicely, they fed them nicely, and they allowed them to sleep. Right? So one day, all the cowherd boys, some of the cowherd boys, they went on the bank of Yamuna. Right? There was a lake in Yamuna river that is called Kalia Lake. So in that lake, some boys went there and then drank some water because they were thirsty. But that waters were poisoned. So all these boys fell lifeless.
right? But Krishna came there and then brought them back to life with their glands only, right? This is like a slight prelude to the Kaliya episode, which will actually be described in 16th verse, 16th chapter. So now we enter the 16th chapter. So Krishna, the summary of Kaliya Daman Leela is mentioned here, right? So Parikshit was very eager to hear this Kaliya Daman Leela. So Krishna went to this Kaliya lake, understanding that this Kaliya is causing trouble there. He jumped into the Kaliya lake and then he started nicely swimming there. Right? So Kaliya came. Kaliya lake. Who came into my arena? Who dares to come here? Even vegetation would not dare to grow here. Even bird would not dare to pass over my surface. How can some boy is just jumping into my lake and then playing, swimming? So Kaliya came and saw Krishna. What is that verse? Tam prekshaniya sukumara ghanavadatam. That verse comes. So Krishna is so beautifully, 9th verse I think. Krishna was appearing so beautifully and delicate, with delicate features, right? And Kaliya saw, and even after seeing such beautiful complexioned beauty of Krishna, Kaliya was, his heart was not melted, it was showing some poisonous fangs only. It was imbued with anger. So to agitate him more, Krishna just swam so, vigorously, and the water splashed and then went on the shore also, like that. So now Kaliya just coiled Krishna around. So as soon as Krishna was coiled by, Kaliya coiled Krishna, there were several natural calamities, natural disturbances. There were disturbances in the nature, there were disturbances in the bodies of people, right? The male people, they were having some kind of vibration in their left side, ladies were having some vibrations in the right side, right? Everyone is perceiving some kind of dangerous omens, right? So as soon as they perceived some danger, immediately every single Vrajavasi, including the gopas, gopis, animals, cows, everyone started thinking of Krishna's protection. Something, I can sense something inauspicious. Is Krishna safe? That was their contemplation. As soon as they perceive some danger, they think of the protection of Krishna. Okay, so I'm perceiving, sensing some danger. Is my property all right? Is my wife all right? Is my children all right? They are not thinking like that. Right? All of them were thinking about Krishna. And where is Krishna? He's in the forest, heading the cows. And how to reach him? His footprints are there. And all the Vrajavasis left their homes and left their all the activities that they were doing in the middle only. And they followed Krishna's footprints and then reached on the bank of Kaliya Lake. Right? So now the responses. This Pran Gopinath Prabhu has made this table nicely. All the cowherd men and boys, their intelligence became deranged by grief, lamentation and fell unconscious. So these were the responses of all the Vrajavasis, right, upon seeing Krishna encircled by the coils of Kaliya. So Krishna remained like that for a muhurta, 48 minutes in the coils of Kaliya. So now Krishna perceived. And Balramji was smiling. Except Balramji, everyone is in anxiety, and Balramji was smiling, and he is even stopping some Vrajavasis entering the lake. Right? So at one point Krishna realized that all these Vrajavasis would die now. Because of separation and anxiety, they would die. So I must do something. So Krishna, within a second, he just released himself from the hoods, from the coils of Kaliya, and then stepped on its hoods. There are thousands of hoods. Right? He would step on them. And then he started dancing on them, right? One small six-year-old boy dancing on thousands of hoods, which are very slippery. Body of snake is very slippery and cold. You can't stand, you can't even touch. What to speak of dancing? And the dancing is not some kind of, unbalanced dance. It's like proper steps he's showing. He's dancing and then he subdued all the hoods. He subdued the 1,000 prominent hoods of Kaliya. And finally, Kaliya took shelter of Krishna, and the Nagapatnis Kalia was humbled. Nagapatnis came and then begged forgiveness for Kalia. And Kalia also begged forgiveness. And Krishna ordered Kalia, you get out of this place. You can't stay here. You are contaminating water here. You go back. These are the prayers. We will not go into details. But Kalia was very worse. Garuda may come and cause some trouble. Krishna said, my footprints were there on your heads, on your hoods. So Garuda will not do anything. So Krishna came out and all the Vrajavasis embraced him. Right? They were very happy that Krishna came out. Okay. Now, yeah, this we will see later. Now in the 17th verse, 17th chapter, so Parikshit, on the request of Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami narrates the background of this Kalia lake. Right? Actually, this Kalia was in the Ramanaka Dvipa. Right? It was the king abode of serpents. And Garuda would come and then eat one serpent or something like that. Then they made a deal. Instead of you eating everything at your will, we will only offer you some food. Okay, we will make you offering whenever you come here. And please relieve us from fear. Then Garuda agreed. But when Kalia's turn came, Kalia did not offer food. Kalia, out of its pride, Kalia only ate all the offering. Then Garuda came and then demanded, where is my offering? What offering? I only ate everything. So then there was fight, and in that fight Kalia was getting defeated, and then Kalia knows that Garuda cannot come to one place, that is the Kalia lake in the midst of Yamuna river. So Kalia went and then stayed there. And although Garuda is not obliged to accept the curse of Saubarimuni, okay, and then spare Kalia, still Garuda did not come there to disturb Kalia. So Kalia is nicely staying there, but it became very intoxicated with pride and then poisoning the waters. So all these narrations were given by Sukadeva Goswami in the 17th chapter. Then after this Kalia episode, all the Vrajavasis did not feel the impetus to go back to their houses. Right? They were so enchanted with Krishna's dance and Kalia, and then they wanted to have Krishna's association more there. So on that night they spent there only, on the bank of Yamuna. Right? At that time there was forest fire. And all the Vrajavasis got up and then requested Krishna, please protect us, this forest fire is inundating us. So Krishna just swallowed the forest fire, simple, and protected all the Vrajavasis. So that was one incident in 17th chapter. Then in the 18th chapter, there is a description of Lord Balaram killing this Pralambasur. So once, Krishna and Balaram and all the Vrajavasis, they were very nicely playing. Okay, so many games, right? So these were some pictures of their playing. So one day they decided to play this, what is that? There is a rope, tug of war, what is it called? So they take the rope and then they will pull both sides. What is that? Tug of war. Yeah, that they start playing. Right? Then Balramji made one team. Balramji is the leading one team. Krishna is leading one team. They were doing that. Then whoever loses, okay, the losing party should carry the winning party on their backs and then they go back. They go inside. Right? So finally Krishna's party lost and Balramji's party won. So Pralambasur came in the form of a cowherd boy and mixed into these cowherd boys. But Krishna and Balram already knew this. Right? So Pralamba carried Balramji and Sridhama carried Krishna. Right? So they were carrying. And Krishna carries Sridhama, I'm sorry. So Pralamba carried Balramji deep into the forest, and his intention was, Balramji is very powerful, he's protecting Krishna. First I will kill Balramji, then I can kill Krishna easily. So Pralambasur took this fellow, Balramji, deep into the forest and manifested his own form. And then Balramji, with one punch, he just killed him. Right? There were so many other interesting images also, we didn't put here. So that's how Pralambasur died. And in the 19th chapter, Sukadeva Goswami narrates one more incident where Krishna swallowed the forest fire. Actually, once all the cows were heading in the forest and they were allured by some green grasses and they went deep inside the forest and they lost. Right? They were lost. And all the cowherd boys were searching, where are my cows, where are our cows? They also went inside the forest. Then all the boys and cows were caught up in this forest fire. So Krishna told them, just close your eyes, I'll do the needful. They closed their eyes. Krishna swallowed the forest fire and they opened the eyes. Things were normal. So that's how Krishna protected all the Vrajavasis second time from the forest fire. So this is the summary slide of all the demons. So Putana represents pseudo-guru, right? Who can misguide the follower. Sakatasura represents the burden of old habits, lethargy and vanity, etc. Trinavarta represents false pride of scholarship, material scholarship. And Nalakovar and Manigriva represent arrogant pride of wealth and opulence. Vatsasura represents childish mentality because he came like a vatsa, child, calf. Bakasura represents cunning, duplicity, deceptiveness. Then Aghasura represents cruelty and violence. Brahma Vimohan Leela, like mundane activities and speculative scholarism. Then Dhenugasura represents gross materialistic intelligence. Kaliya represents brutality. First forest fire, intercommunal discord. Second forest fire, disruption of religious principles. Pralambasura, lusty inclinations. So this is the first 19 chapters. 20 and 21 we just discussed yesterday and day before only. So I didn't include here. Okay. So thank you very much. So it's very like good, wonderful opportunity to recollect all pastimes of Krishna just before Janmashtami. So, Janmashtami means service. Service from early morning till midnight. So, please be ready for all services. So, thank you all very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. And I thank Hemru Prabhu, Pran Gopinath Prabhu, Madhumadav Prabhu, and Anand Rila Prabhu for making many slides in this presentation. So day after tomorrow, I think it's there in this PowerPoint. So day after tomorrow we'll have grand test. So all of you have question papers, right? Friday morning 9 to 12 we'll have grand test. Then post lunch services for Janmashtami. Your services are in 7 temples, decorating all 7 temples. Of course, there are so many services. One day before, you will decorate 7 temples. On the day of Janmashtami, you will put in notice board. You are in media. You are in Abhishek, Janmatithi. Most of you are in Abhishek.